So I want to get into the data, of course, particularly the recent data, but just to draw this out a little bit more, can you talk a little bit about sort of the spectrum of what you'd see biologically or genomically in ovarian cancer and how it varies based on whether it's serous or not? What do you see in the tumor?
So the most common subtype of ovarian cancer is high-grade serous ovarian cancer that represents probably around about 70%. So that's what we're dealing with most often. And we know that this is a type of ovarian cancer that's very genomically heterogeneous, a lot of mutations, particularly P53 mutations. But we know also that in about 20% of those tumors, there is a BRCA mutation, either an inherited germline BRCA mutation, which probably accounts for around about 15% of all cases of high-grade serous ovarian cancer, or a somatic BRCA mutation within the tumor. So not inherited, but developed within the tumor in about 5%. So that gives you that group, that subgroup, if you like, of 20% of patients who are particularly susceptible to treatment with a PARP inhibitor.
As long as you're bringing that up, at this point, do you think sort of globally, qualitatively, sort of looking at it, responsiveness to PARP inhibitors is around the same with somatic as opposed to germline mutations?
Yeah, the evidence we have from particularly, well, we've got evidence accumulating not only from the olaparib studies, but also the rucaparib studies, because these studies have been done in a much broader group of patients, not only germline mutated ovarian cancer, but also somatically mutated ovarian cancer, and perhaps we'll come back to later, non-BRCA mutated ovarian cancer. But the evidence seems to suggest that the effectiveness of the PARP inhibitors is equivalent whether the patient has a somatic or germline mutation.
So going beyond BRCA mutations, what other kinds of mutations are seen in ovarian cancer that seem to increase sensitivity to PARP inhibitors, and how common are they?
So the phenotype that we're after is this process called homologous recombination deficiency, this deficiency in the repair of double-strand breaks. And this is a very complex process and requires a number of genes to be active and a number of processes to interact to produce this repair pathway. The BRCA proteins are some of the most important that are responsible for this repair process. And we've already spoken about how BRCA mutations may interfere with this HRD phenomenon. But there are a number of other key proteins that we know are important, such as the RAD51 gene products or BRIP1, CHEK1, and there are others too. But these others are sometimes difficult to measure. And this is where the difficulty arises. It's not purely a genomic mutation that we're looking for. I mean, that's much clearer in the sense of BRCA, but there may be a constellation of other problems. For example, the BRCA1 gene might be methylated. So not mutated, but there may be abnormal methylation and therefore inactivation of the BRCA gene. So there are a number of different processes that can take place in the cell that give rise to this phenotype of HR deficiency, which is the marker for responsiveness to a PARP inhibitor.